41. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about stress, anxiety as a result of changes coming out of the White House, specifically the president's executive orders. A lot of things happening literally day by day and sometimes hour by hour. If you're feeling anxiety, if you're feeling stress, how are you feeling it? How does it make you feel? And how do you deal with it? We're here to help. We're here to get you through that. My guests are Dr. Nicole Cutts. She is a clinical psychologist with Cutts Consulting. And Dr. Thomas Mellman. He's a psychiatrist and director of the Center for Clinical and Translational Research and Stress Sleep Studies here at Howard University. Lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting in, keep calling. We will get to your phone calls. Lynn, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Lynn. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes. Hi. You know, I think for me, the way I sort of fight the stress internally is I realize that there are more people that dislike this man than people that like him. So when I see people galvanizing and organizing, that's a stress reliever in and of itself for me.
Sounds to me like fight or flight. Is that right, Dr. Cutts? That's what she's saying?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, and Dr. Mellman alluded to that, too, with the idea of feeling threatened. You know, human beings are social animals. So I think, in part, Lynn's response to calm her nervous system when she's feeling this threat, she's looking at the other animals in the pack that are on her side, you know, and that makes sense that we are social animals. There is safety in numbers. So focusing on that solidarity and the galvanizing of many different groups, it can also be a good way to cope with the stress, to think about the fact that we're not alone.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Lynn, thank you so much, Dr. Mellman.
I agree.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go. Laughter is definitely the best medicine. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Leah calling from Gaithersburg. What do you think? What's on your mind?
I think I have to agree with the last caller. Mm-hmm. I've been looking at a lot of the organizing going on, but what relieves my stress, because I quit watching a lot of it for a while because it was so irritating. But now I think it's time to take action. So I've been participating in the protests. I'm having meetings on the Hill, talking about jobs agenda. I'm inserting myself into places where I feel like I can actually make a change and a difference and help to push the people's agenda forward and not President Trump's agenda.
Interesting, Leah. Thank you so much. Dr. Mellman, talk to me a little bit about how some of these things present with people. How do you know that you're feeling this anxiety and stress? Are we, you know, what happens with our bodies?
Well, you mentioned the fight or flight response, and indeed, we have well-programmed mechanisms that have protected humanity for many, many, many generations that allow us to be keyed up, to be highly vigilant, to be able to flee or freeze or fight, I suppose, is. But I don't want to confuse that kind of fighting with the positive taking action that Lee and Lynn both mentioned, because I think, you know, passivity can make things even more stressful, and the type of activism they're advocating I would totally support. But if these reactions of the sympathetic nervous system endure, they affect the body in adverse ways. They raise blood pressure. They accelerate aging. You mentioned the name of my program, the Sleep Stress Studies Program, and I think sleep is a very informative barometer of a person's stress level. So if you're sleeping at night and you're sleeping and your sleep is restful, then that physiological relaxation will occur. But if you're not sleeping, or if your sleep is restless, then you may not get that physiological respite, and it can take its toll. So if people are losing sleep, I think that's, you know, that's a sign that they should try to find some alternative ways of coping. And again, I mentioned exercise is very important. One can do meditative activities, but one can engage in the things that they feel good about while maintaining appropriate concern. And So I guess maybe my final, perhaps most important take-home message is, you know, do not look at social media while lying in bed.
How about that? Okay.
Process that before going to sleep and relaxing, and then put it away.
Sounds good. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about anxiety and stress that may be caused by what you're seeing coming from President Trump's executive orders. And, you know, what's happening at the White House could be indeed impacting what's happening at your house. Let's talk to Vivian. Vivian, calling from West Virginia. Vivian, thanks for calling. What's happening? What's on your mind?
Thank you. Yes, it does feel stressful, even though I don't like to use that word. I don't like to use the word fear. I don't like to use the word, you know, afraid or scared. So the way that I've been handling it is just by more prayer, more trying to relax and walk and exercise. And to be honest, just turning it off and not looking at it and just, you know, just laying it at the feet of the Lord because, you know, God is in charge and, you know, prayer's about the only thing to fix it. I grew up in the 50s, 60s, 70s and saw a lot of crazy stuff happen out there where I live. And it just kind of reminds me of that time, you know, because there doesn't seem to be any healing. The healing process hasn't started for the nation. It's a mess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Vivian, thank
you. People are stressed.
Yeah.
I can't look at the news and you know, and I worked in the government, so I know, hey, you're doing this or you're saying that. And I've even been reading the Constitution. I'm like, is what he's doing makes sense and it's legal? And it's like nobody is stopping him, correcting him, slapping his hand. It just feels too comfortable doing it.
Yeah, well,
but I do pray for him. I pray for him that he would stop and think.
Okay. Well, Vivian, thank you so much. I appreciate your input. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're feeling anxiety and stress because of some of the actions of President Trump, how are you dealing with it? How is it impacting your life? Go right ahead, Dr. Cutts, please.
Well, I actually wanted to make a comment based on what Vivian said about prayer. And, you know, I have been focusing my sort of response to this Trump presidency on the Serenity Prayer, you know, and I'm just saying, God, Goddess, you know, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Because I think that that covers all the bases. You know, there are certain things I might not be able to change, and our other callers alluded to this also, that they're making themselves useful where they can. I think it's important when we experience stress and when we have, the, you know, the stress hormones that are released in our body that Dr. Melman talked about that are adaptive, we either need to do something to calm ourselves, to get our, you know, parasympathetic nervous systems working, and we need to use that energy. So, you know, I say don't just get riled up looking at Facebook or something, but to do something about it also relieves stress, because when we feel powerless, it leads to us feeling hopeless a lot of times or feeling victim or being victimized. So, you know, if it feels right for you, I strongly suggest, you know, actually taking some action so that you are engaged.
Sounds good. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Charles calling from Dumfries. What's on your mind, Charles?
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Doing just fine.
Hey, man, I listen to you guys all the time, man. I think this is the coolest radio show in the world.
Thank you so much, Charles. I appreciate that. I really do. So, okay. So what's on your mind? How are you handling this?
Well, I'm actually listening to all your callers. I'm actually sitting here right now. I'm just getting there from work, right? And I'm listening to this, you know, and actually, I'm pretty much stressed out about a lot of things, but including the executive orders and some other stuff. But, you know, the thing about it is, and the other doctor just said a moment ago, the female, that the serenity prayer, this is what we've got to deal with for the next 4 years. I mean, we just got to deal with it. And so how we handle that is up to us individually and responsibly. So I don't know what to say. There's a lot of things that are wrong. There's a lot of things that are wrong. But in my opinion, it's up to us as a population and as a country to vote our midterm elections, because I really feel like the corruption is in the Senate, the House, and the representatives. So we need to pay a little more attention to every 2 years after the everything. Everybody thinks the president can change everything. He can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Congress and the Senate. So.
But Charles, thank you so much, and I really appreciate it because you brought up something that we haven't discussed. The reality is that the election has been held. Donald Trump has been sworn in. We have 4 years to 4 years at least where he is president, barring any extreme changes. That can always happen, as we've seen, as it relates to, our various and sundry presidents over the many, many, many years. But the reality is he's going to be here for at least 4 years. And if he doesn't change, then perhaps we need to change. Dr. Melman?
Absolutely. I mean, Charles is describing an important type of activism that has consequences. And as Dr. Cutts was referring to before, where it's much better for our mental health and perhaps the world we're affecting and the society we're living in to figure out what one can do and not just feel victimized by what's already happened and can't be changed in the short term.
Mm-hmm. Should you try to just ignore it if it just gets to the point where you're just, here's, another day, unusual move by the president? And I mean, can some folks just kind of throw up their hands and say, I'm just going to put my head down, go to work and go about my business?
I prefer taking a break to ignoring.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Dr. Melman. It's like what he was mentioning earlier, avoiding, denying, suppressing, that can work in the short term. And if you need to compartmentalize and put something aside, but as a long-term strategy, it doesn't promote a healthy emotional or physical state.
Mm-hmm. How should someone go about, and I want to drill down a little bit more, we talk about meditation and what have you, because I think the reality is that no one should completely ignore. Take a break, but you still want to know what's going on. One could argue that this is about a lifelong civics lesson,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, Ronald Reagan, whether it's George Bush, Barack Obama, or Donald Trump. You need to know what's happening in your country. And so how do you meditate? How do you really find time to relax, short of just, grabbing your passport and going to a beach?
if you can.
If you can
grab your passport.
Yeah.
I think that you can do one thing at a time. I think there's a time for increasing your knowledge and being informed, and there's a time for stress relief and meditation and relaxation. And I think that being mindful of staying in each one of those places when you're there is helpful. I've been walking a lot. I do my yoga. Sometimes, it's just a matter of breathing. If you're at work, like our caller earlier, and something's coming up, whether it's this or something else, to stop and take a breath, to refocus. Stress also comes from your thoughts about a situation. So paying attention to what you're thinking about, paying attention to what you're putting your attention on. There are a lot of good things that are going on right now. The activism that's going on, the learning that's going on, the solidarity that's going on. So maybe to shift your attention to some of those things is also helpful.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about children, because children feel it too. And I'll tell you why I say that in just a bit. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stress and anxiety because of some of the actions that are coming out of the White House. How do you deal with it? How is it impacting your house? We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about anxiety, about stress, sleeplessness as a result of some of the actions that are coming out of the White House. How is it impacting you and how are you dealing with it? Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sandra calling from Capitol Heights. Hey, Sandra, what's on your mind?
How are you? Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I just wanted to say what's causing me to not really ignore it or be in denial. I look at my grandparents as inspiration. They were both born in Washington, D.C. in 1900. So you can imagine they went through many generations of presidents that were just like Mr. Trump, and they survived. They grew up in Georgetown when it was a sizable African-American community. They were able to purchase an additional home in Columbia Heights as an investment property. Mm-hmm. So when I look at what they had to go through in Washington, D.C., that was a segregated town, and the amount of presidents that they put up with that had raw racism. Mm-hmm. And when I look at where they were financially when they were young adults growing up in D.C. in the 1920s, and they were able to be more financially fit than I was when I was a young adult, that's what gives me inspiration and a stress-free mindset.
How about that? That's a really positive, you know, way to look at it. Sometimes, you know, looking back, you know, has its advantages just as so many people are looking forward.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Sandra, thank you so much. I appreciate your input. I was mentioning children. And this is why, just looking at it from where we are here, the D.C. metropolitan area, one of the most diverse cities in America, where, you know, our children are going to school with other children who are from south of the border, mm-hmm. children who are from the Middle East, mm-hmm. children whose parents may be adversely impacted by whether it's executive orders or some of the statements that the president has made. And so, you know, Dr. Melman, I can only imagine if I'm an elementary school student and my best friend is from Mexico, what as a father do I tell my child who has a friend whose family is from Mexico or whose family is, you know, from the Middle East or maybe even one of these countries that are mentioned in the travel ban? I can imagine it would be horrifying for a child.
Well, you're certainly right to underscore the effect of all this on children. Children pay attention. They're aware of things. They perceive what's going on. And I think the most important thing is to listen for cues, provide them with the right kind of guidance, and support those friendships that you mentioned.
What kind of cues that might you see or hear or sense from your child if they're feeling anxiety as a result of this?
Well, facial expressions, withdrawing, not spending time with that friend that they had previously been spending time with. Withdrawing from activities, schoolwork, and sleep, as I mentioned before, in adults and children, those are all things to be attentive to. But you know, I think parents can make good judgments about these things, and when encouraged, children will express themselves.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Kurtz?
Yeah, I agree with Dr. Melman. I think that you want to, even before all this was happening, but especially now, help your children to increase their emotional intelligence. You know, talk about feelings with them, you know, in a safe way, and give them an opportunity to talk about their feelings. But you know, as Dr. Melman was saying, children are not always going to be adept at saying, I feel this or I feel that. So you do have to look for those kind of signs. But I also think that normalizing having the feelings is important, you know, showing that you have feelings, asking them about their feelings, and also helping to build their resilience, because this is not the last time in their lives that they're going to face stressful situations. So, you know, normalize, validate how they're feeling, but also encourage them, let them know that they are strong, that they are able to get through trying times. I think that can be helpful.
But you said something that just struck me. If you show your child your feelings of anxiety, does that necessarily make them feel safe?
It doesn't necessarily make them feel safe. It depends on how you show them that you're feeling stressed or anxious. I think what's important is that you show them that you do have feelings and this is how you deal with them. You know, but if they just see you stressed out and anxious, I think that's going to cause worry for them. But I also don't think that you should just pretend as if nothing is going on. You know, children are going to see that. But of course, parents make their own judgments and, you know, rightfully so, to say, well, how much do I think this child can see? But I think it's important. And it probably encourages parents to deal with their anxiety and stress because they know that their children are modeling or they're modeling for their children.
You want to say something?
Yeah, I want to underscore what I think is a very important point that Dr. Cutts made. And that is that adults have a capacity to verbalize what they're feeling that children may not have. And I think by doing that, so actually I think, you know, saying to your son or daughter, I'm worried, I'm concerned, but this is what I think. And, you know, keeping the perspective of our previous caller, that perspective is so important. Mm-hmm. Other people have gone through this, sometimes worse, you know, supporting their resilience. But I do think... verbalizing, providing words to describe the state that they may be sharing is helpful and something parents can do for their children, even when it acknowledges some difficulty.
Talk to me about the difference between someone who may be angry or upset about the outcome of the election and someone who is feeling stress about what is happening now. How do you know the difference? I don't mean as a clinician, but I mean as an individual. How do I know that if I was angry on November 9th, that I'm not just still angry now?
Well, I think that a lot of folks were angry on November 9th because they had a feeling of, well, they saw what Trump and his administration represented. So I think a lot of folks actually, after the inauguration, said, let's wait and give him a chance. Maybe it's not going to be as bad as we, many of us, imagined it would be. I think that it's been worse than let's imagine. I'm just going to keep it real. You know, why I was, if you were angry then, you know, that might have been projection. But if you're angry now, it, you know, well, paying it, why? What is it that's bothering me? And again, I say get active. Dr. Melman says, you know, he believes in activism also. You know, what are you angry about? Okay, then what are you going to do about it? Don't just sit around and be angry.
Can this anxiety make you sick?
Absolutely. And, you know, thinking back to your question, what's behind it? I mean, life is inherently stressful, and that's not to be avoided. But, you know, you want that balance. You know, if a person didn't get upset or, you know, they wouldn't be fully alive. So, you know, emotions ideally lead to actions, and those actions can then help process the emotions. But, you know, if a person's not sleeping well, not sleeping restfully, continuously preoccupied to the extent that they can't be mindful of other things, you know, that's a sign of a problem. And I think we've talked about, as well as our callers have talked about, constructive ways of coping with that. If that's not working, then get professional help.
And which leads me to my final question. You may be physiologically, you know, ill, but also, you know, can this, you know, lead to depression, or is that an overreach?
No, I don't think it's an overreach. I think that circumstances can trigger your moods, or the way you think about a circumstance can trigger your mood. You know, if you already have underlying depression or anxiety, this could definitely compound that. Now, in terms of seeing someone or getting treatment, as Dr. Melman was saying, you know, if your anxiety or your stress is starting to interfere with your daily living, and it's more than what your current coping mechanisms can handle, then definitely I think you should reach outside of yourself, possibly to a professional, to your support group, to other people.
Mm-hmm. Something certainly, you know, that we should all, you know, talk about, no matter what you may feel about, you know, the president personally, but you know, every president does something that we may find upsetting or, you know, certainly, you know, distressing. And maybe it would be time to kind of, you know, gird yourself up.
I agree. And I also think that it's important that we underscore self-care, that during this time, whether you are getting active or not, but, you know, people are already in only now we're going into the third week. People are already starting to talk about burnout. And I've heard this before, and I need to take this to heart. And I think that your listeners need to hear that this is a marathon and not a sprint. So you do have to pace yourself, and you also need to take care of yourself. We need to, you know, not let the stress with Trump make you drink more, eat more, smoke more, but to do those things less, exercise, eat right, get proper sleep, and take good care of yourselves.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good place for us to end here. I want to thank both of you for sharing with us as we, you know, move, like you said, into, you know, the third week. We have, 4 years to go. So if it's bothering you now, it's time for you to prepare to address it as best you can, because you still got to go to work in the morning. So there it is. So that's it. Dr. Nicole Cutts and Dr. Thomas Melman, thank you both so much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, February 6th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum, WHUR, or H Fisher, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Sexual aid, I've been there.